Thank you for that. I know it's a little bit later this morning, and I will not be long because I realize you mothers have to get home and make lunch for everybody. And so, by the way, husbands, if you make your wife make lunch today, you need to be slapped. And wives, go ahead, hit them. By the way, pray for Vaught. He's a Sacramento Kings fan. I didn't know that. He wouldn't have been hired. By the way, sending Luke, if you're a basketball fan, you'll understand this. Sending Luke Walton to be their coach wasn't a gift. It was sabotage, okay? Seriously. But anyhow, let's get back to Jesus here for a minute, okay? It is Mother's Day today, and we are thankful. Where would we be without our moms? Can I get a little more volume? Is that possible on my end? I don't care if you guys can hear. Without mothers, we feel neglected. It was a cartoon in the Saturday Evening Post that showed a young boy. He was 5 or 6 years old, and he's talking on the telephone. He says, "Mom's in the hospital. The twins and Roxy and Billy and Sally and the dog and me and Dad are all home alone." That's kind of how you feel, right? When mom is not around. The job of a mother is one of those that you can't really put a value on. If you tried, it wouldn't work. We didn't show I was going to show it this year, but we show it every year, and I thought it might get a little monotonous. But the Mother's Day video we've showed the last few weeks where they came out, and they're interviewing these people, and these people think this is a legitimate job, and they're trying to hire them for a job, and they're explaining all of the different qualifications. And what they're explaining is the job of a mom. And they're saying, like, yeah, you don't get breaks and all this. And the people are like, wait, that's cruel. You can't do that. It's like, how much does it pay? Nothing. And then they're like, the job is a mother. And they all like, yep, we get it. But really, if mothers got paid, it'd be pretty astronomical. Yeah. There's a website called salary.com. And each year they figure out how much a mother would make. They calculated a mother's market value by studying pay levels for 10 different job titles and duties that a mom typically performs, ranging from housekeeping, daycare center, teacher, van driver, psychologist, that's what the husband mostly, and CEO. They figure out that the average salary for a mom, a stay-at-home mom, should be $162,000 a year. Now, for you moms who juggle an outside job, and many of you have to, you would make about $85,000 for a part-time job. How many of you would take that? Okay, let me explain something to you. You're not getting it. But you deserve every single penny you would ever get if you could get some. So we look at our text, we realize this was a very dangerous time for the Israelites, particularly for their children that were being born. The Israelites went in with Joseph during the famine over 400 years roughly before this time. And as they stayed there, they multiplied and became a great host. And the Egyptians were concerned about them. So the first thing they did is they kind of forced them into slavery. And then they were still concerned about how the population was growing, thinking that one day there could be an uprising and that they would overthrow them because they had numbers. So they came up with this plan to kill all of the newborn sons. And so the midwives, if you read in chapter 1, they feared God, so they weren't doing it. So eventually, Pharaoh just throws it out to anybody, to all the people. If you see an Egyptian or Israeli that has a male baby, kill it. Well, Moses' mom did not do that. By faith, she took care of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Their baby was Moses. And for some reason, she thought there was something different about this child. Of course, all parents think that about their children. But somehow she knew that maybe he was destined for something greater. So they had the child, even though it was very dangerous for them to have the child. And she hid the child as long as he could. And That must have been tough, knowing that any Egyptian at any time could hear the baby and have the baby killed. Eventually, it gets to the point where she realizes they can no longer hide the baby. And so she makes a little ark of bulrushes there, and she pitches it real well so that it's watertight and it's buoyant and it will not, you know, it will not sink. And she puts Moses in there and she sends him on his way. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that Moses' sister Miriam sees what's going on. I'm pretty sure mom said, follow the baby and see what's going on. And the baby goes and is going down the river, and coincidence, which there's no such thing, Moses, the Pharaoh's daughter's out there, and she sees the baby in the bulrush come in, and she looks at the baby, and at the right time, the baby starts crying. And that motherly instinct kicks in, and she saves the baby's life. Well, Miriam, who's been watching, runs over there and says, you know, the baby was still nursing age. Would you like me to find someone to nurse the baby? And they do. And she goes and gets Moses' mom, and they get the baby back. The baby's protected for a while. Of course, we see the hand of God in this story in the life of Moses. But this morning, I just want to take something out of here, and I want to make a point here. After Miriam goes and gets the mom, Jochebed, and brings her to Pharaoh's daughter tells her something I find interesting. Look at verse number 9, please, of Exodus chapter 2. It says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Moses' mom, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. The woman took the child and nursed it. This is a mother's dream. Not only does she get the baby back, not only does she nurse the baby, she's going to get paid for it. How many of you mothers that say, I'm in? How many of you dads say, no way, okay? She didn't just nurse the baby, she got paid for her motherly duties. Now, I'm not telling you today you're going to get paid, because you're not, monetarily. Fact of the matter is, those little things cost more money than they bring in, okay? You're not going to make money. You're going to lose money on this transaction. But I want to say this morning. This is the best paying job in the world for a lady. Being a mother could be the best paying job you have ever had. Being a mother does pay. That's not popular in our society. Fact of the matter is, children are looked down upon. One of our Alabama representatives said about abortion, just kill them now or we'll have to kill them later. They can't even get it right. They think it's okay if a baby survives an abortion, which they shouldn't be having an abortion anyhow. It's okay to let the baby die. Some nutcase got on one of the news stations and said, when a lady gets pregnant, it's not a baby. Then what is it? 9 months later, is it a horse? Is it a watermelon? Although some of you ladies, you get pregnant, you look like you swallowed a watermelon. Okay? It's a baby. And babies used to be something that was honored. By the way, in Christian circles, it's honored. And I don't want to get into the political aspects of that, so we'll move on. I do want to say this morning, mothers, it's the greatest paying job you will ever have. I want to give you a couple key truths that will help you with this. Several truths about the best paying job in the world. First of all, I want to mention that it pays in your fulfillment. Verse 1, it says, there was a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. This is Jochebed. The woman conceived and bare a son. You know what? That's natural. There's nothing unusual about that. Okay? Marriage, unless there's physical complications, and sometimes there is, but marriage will typically lead to children. And that's okay. That's a good thing. That's, look, ladies, let me explain this. You will do a lot of things in your life, but one of the greatest and most fulfilling things you will ever do is first, get married and be a wife, and second, to be a mother. Don't listen to what society is telling you about children. Children are not a curse. Children are a baby. Think of the time in which they knew when they were having, when she was getting pregnant, that this was a dangerous proposition for them at best. Now, they had a 50% chance of having a girl. By the way, that's the odds, okay? And by the way, what you have is what you have. That's what it is. If it's born a boy, it's a boy. If it's born a girl, it's a girl. But it was kind of dangerous. But there's a fulfillment they had in having a baby. There is a trend of ladies not wanting to have children at all for many reasons. I read an article, I think my daughter gave it to me about 5 years ago at the dentist's office, and she gave it to me, and it was basically an article where it's talking about these couples that were choosing not to have children simply because it interferes with their lifestyle. And they've made a decision to never have children, and they're interviewing all these couples as I'm reading. I think it was in Time Magazine, one of those like that. And they're talking about how we just want to be able to get up and take off on the weekend and do whatever we want. We want to be able to do this and do that. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting away every now and then. But children don't hinder your happiness. Children are a happiness. Children don't take away your joy. Children bring joy. I heard there's some now, and I think this one lady in New York, and don't crucify me, please, but Ocasio, what's her name, Cortez, she's not going to have children. That's just good for mankind. Okay, really. Because they're bad for the environment. They want to get rid of cows now because they flatulate. I was going to use the other word, but this is church. And so cows are killing the environment. I agree. Let's make burgers, okay? But you know, it's bad. Listen, and I'm not trying, I would never be mean to any lady, but I would say this to them. You know, there's going to come a time later on in their life when maybe they can't have children. They might regret that decision. You might want to think it through. Children are a blessing. We've had a whole bunch of them. And we just didn't know how to count, I guess. And then when they leave the house, it's like now we get another blessing, grandchildren. Okay? They're a blessing. The best part about it is when they go home. Just kidding. They're over all the time. Children are fulfilling. Yes. Ladies, don't look, and I'm not against, I understand you work and all that, but you can have the greatest career in this world and you can make the most money in the world. But can I just tell you something? That is nowhere near as important as that job title that you hold. Mother. Don't let anybody look down on you. Right, some of you ladies, you're able to do it, and you're a stay-at-home house mom, and the world looked, oh, you're just a housewife. Ha ha. Listen, that's a huge thing. Yeah. To be with your children, don't ever let someone look down on you because you are a mother. It's the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do. It's not easy, but it is fulfilling. Yeah. Someone said there was a mother who wanted to have the last word, but couldn't handle the hassle that resulted whenever she said no to her son. After an eventually trying day, she finally flung up her hands and shouted, "All right, Billy, do whatever you want. Now let me see you disobey that." Okay? By the way, don't do that. But children could, I'm not saying it's the easiest job in the world, but I'll tell you what, it's fulfilling. Second of all, it also pays when we protect our children. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. I believe somehow she knew that God had something special for the child, and I'm sure the other mothers tried to hide it, but she hid the child the best that she could. Why? She was trying to protect him from the physical harm that was out there coming for them. Let me say this. There's a lot of things out there that can harm our children. Yeah. And part of the job as parents is to make sure that we do what we can to protect them. And by the way, I don't apologize for it. If you don't understand it, that's fine. But we're very conservative in our beliefs around here. Amen. Because the Bible is a very conservative book. But one of the reasons we're very conservative is because we have a responsibility, as you have a responsibility, to have protection. You see, what's very, very sad is now children it seems like our society over the years through the school system has just kind of hammered it that parents, you can't be a parent. You can't dictate what your children do. You can't, you know, be rigid and have guidelines and, you know, don't preach at them. Listen, that's not biblical and that's not true. Fact of the matter is, children are very vulnerable and they need parents to protect them. Don't just let them do what they want. You say, well, you know, the child is just, it just seems like they're having nothing but problems. And sometimes it's because we've not protected them from things. By the way, as our society goes on and technology becomes more and more proliferate, there's just gonna be more and more things that can come at our children. Our children here, we always joke around, look, when I was your age, I walked to school every day and it was uphill in a snowstorm during the summer. And on the way home, it was still uphill. Okay, listen, things weren't that hard for us. When it comes to doing right, children hardly go outside nowadays. Have you noticed that? Used to be when we had bus routes, and I was a bus captain younger, if we went out on a Saturday, the kids were all out. It was easy to find them, to invite them to church. Now it's like no one's in the streets. Why? Because they've been up all night playing video games or in the house playing video games. See, as parents, we need to protect our children. There is a lot of nonsense out there. It's our job, okay? And I know some of you, especially new, this is going to be hard to swallow. We don't let our children have cell phones until they're 37, okay? No. Our rule has always been when you graduate, and usually 18, but if you graduate from high school and I think you're okay, we'll give it to you then. And I revoke, I as long as you're living in my house, and I have the privilege to take it away from you anytime I feel like it. Okay? Do you understand? You parents don't understand what's out there on social media. Okay? And I can't keep up with all the different things. Brother Ross is sharing some with me, Monkey and some of these others. I don't even know what they are. Listen, and I know, you're looking at me like, what in the world? I thought you were going to be nice. I'm trying to be nice. No kid needs to be on social media. It's just hooking them up with all kinds of dangerous things. I think sometimes, and I was a bad kid, Brother Bichardo. I was the kid in high school that the mother said, don't hang around with that guy. That was me. But you know what? I think sometimes, how much worse would I have been if I lived in today's society? Fact of the matter is, I'm pretty sure I would have messed up my life pretty good. Thank God I didn't live in this time. And so I commend our teenagers that do the right thing. I'm not getting on you. But I'm just saying, parents, why do we do that? We're protecting them. What they watch, it's our call as parents. And we need to raise the children. Don't just throw a cell phone at them. Don't just throw an iPad and say, have a good time. Do you know, study it yourself. Most of the high technology and internet content providers, app developers, they don't let their children hardly ever touch a device. Okay, but the point I'm making is if we'll protect our children and put them in a place and let them grow and mature to the place where they're ready to go into the world as a Christian and do right, it'll pay. Okay, let's do our jobs. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying. Look at it from a common sense perspective. Most of us, we were a scared to death of what we would have done because when we came home, Dad would have dealt with us very harshly. See, what we do is we listen to our children. There's a South African actress, I don't know her name, you probably read the story too. And she's been raising her child as a girl for all these years because when the boy was 3 years old, he said, Mommy, I'm a girl. So she said, okay, obviously he wants to be a girl, I'm going to raise him as a girl. Listen, my grandson will tell you he's Batman. Levi runs around, he can't even speak, when he couldn't even speak English. Like, who are you, Levi? I'm Batman. I'm like, okay, I'm going to raise him like Batman. Okay, I'm a dinosaur. How do you raise a dinosaur? Okay, kids say all kinds of nonsense when they're little, okay? Sometimes adults say nonsense too, amen? But I'm just saying, let's be the parents. Let's take care of our children.
Amen.
And by the way, whenever it seems like the mothers seem to suffer the most when the children struggle. Proverbs 29:19 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth to his mother shame. Okay? But by the way, if we just give them some protection and some guidelines and raise them right, they'll do good. Next, it pays when we trust. Verse 3. Why did she, look, this was not some type of fatalistic thing when she was putting Moses in the bulrush, like, here you go, buddy, we're just going to let you go down there and an alligator's going to eat you. I don't think that's it. I mean, the thing was well protected. she must have had some idea that something good was going to happen. I don't know, Brother Pichardo. But I think she did that by faith. And you know what? She trusted that God was going to do something with her child. Would to God we would all think like that, right? Why don't we have trust that our child serving God and living for God is the best thing that they can do? By the way, it's the best thing we can do. Too often, we try to superimpose some type of goal for our child that we have, not necessarily that God has. You know, I want my child to have this career. I want my child to have this thing, and I want my child to have that thing. Now, I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination, but I've never tried to just put on my children, this is what you have to do. I'm not God. I want them to do God's will. Now, if they're going to do something outside of God's will, I'll tell them. I just want them to do God's will. Okay, well, what career are they going to have? The one God chooses for them. I'm not choosing it. See, they're my children to raise, but they're ultimately God's in the long run.
Right.
And I want God to work in their life. By the way, parents, when it comes to trusting God, let the children see it in your life first.
Yes, sir.
See, they're going to follow us.
Yep.
They're going to follow the way that we do. Many years ago, when Jessica was in college, she would drive our children to school in the morning. And she pulled out of our house, and a 16-year-old girl was coming the other way, and she was texting, shock, while she was driving, and she ran right into our car. And so, fortunately for us, the guy had told our insurance company, her dad had told the insurance company it was her fault. We actually had a back in the days when people called on the answering machine, he had admitted to us that it was his daughter's fault. And he wanted us to have his buddy fix our car. I'm like, I'm not taking to a friend's house to fix our car. Okay, we'll just go through the insurance. So then he changed his tune. Nope, wasn't her fault. Now it was obvious it was her fault. And once it was investigated, well, yep, it was her fault. But I always thought, what a horrible example that father just set for his daughter. She knew it was her fault. He admitted it was her fault. She knew that he knew it was her fault. But to try to save a few bucks, he was willing to corrupt her character.
Right.
Parents, I hope we don't do that. Let them see the trust in God. Let them see us being faithful to church. Let them remember that mom was, and dad even, they were always, church was important to them, and they were faithful to church, that the Bible was important to them, and that although you're not perfect, you strive to live a life that pleases God. Next, it pays as a mother when we release our child. Here's the hard part of the story, if you think about it. She gets her son back, and she weans him, and she gets paid for him. And then once he is weaned and he's grown up enough, she has to take him back and give him to Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah.
That must have been hard.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure she was thankful that he didn't die like so many others. It took a lot of faith for her to release him. But think of it this way. If she had never done that, the children of Israel, how were they going to get out of slavery? See, because she was willing to say, this is just the course I have to live, and I trust God, and because I'm just going to release him to this situation, this is how it's got to be. And that was the very place that put him in the very position that allowed him to be there when God called him to take his people out of Egypt. Let's not hold on to our children, as I mentioned earlier. In the early days of our church, we'd get these teenagers coming in, and they were gangbangers, and the parents would bring them to church because we were going to help them. We'd send them to homes and then get them back and try to help them here. And the parents were always on board. They'd bring these kids that were ex-gangbangers or had been in trouble and the law, and they're like, you can keep them. They can be preachers, whatever they want. And their families would come to church, and they would have other children that didn't get in trouble. It's like, oh, not that one. God can't have that one. Now, they didn't say it like that, but they said it in other terms. God can have the one that was gangbanging. God can have the one that was in jail, but this good one here that's getting good grades and isn't causing trouble, God can't have that one. Really? We ought to give God all of our children. In fact, some of you are saying they can have them now. Okay, where do I drop them off? Don't bring them to the church. I'm not Pharaoh's daughter, okay? But listen, when we release our children to God and say, God, they're yours, you can do with them whatever you want. A child who lives for God, no matter what God has them do, pays off for a mother. And lastly, it pays in the future. Her child was Moses. He was no ordinary individual. By the way it usually works, if children are brought up right, when they become adults, they're a blessing. You're not changing their diapers anymore. Fact of the matter is, when you get older, they'll probably be changing yours. Okay? I mean, they're a blessing. You know, it's not like, you know, okay, I can't wait till they get out of the house. And there's some in that. But you want them around. When you see that they've grown up and you've put them in the best position you could to serve God and do the right thing. Amen. In the future.
Yeah.
By the way, many of them will praise their mother. I got some quotes from some famous people and what helped them in their life. Thomas Edison said, "It was at a crucial time in my life that my mother believed in me, and because of her faith in me, I became a great inventor." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I have ever become, I owe to my angel mother." We know Charles Wesley and John Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote many of the hymns in our hymn book that we sing. His brother John Wesley, a great preacher, and started the Methodist movement. You know, a lot of that was due to their mother, Susanna Wesley. They had like 17 children. Now, several died, but she always spent time with them and trained them because dad wasn't around very much. You know, mother, it pays for you to invest in your children. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying this, being a mother, first of all, we want to thank you, but secondly, it's the greatest paying job in the world. Especially if you're a Christian mother. And especially if you try to raise your children for God. And you put them in that spiritual position where God can work in their life and they can make it through all of the hurdles and all of the potholes of life that could cause them issue. Being a mother pays great dividends. Let's all stand this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute.